This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, riding out again on Old Dan, blazing the path to the hearts of sinners here and there and yonder, wherever the Lord takes us. We're just cutting back the briars and the brambles and the error that faces our folks today. And I often refer to it. Many of our folks down here in the South know exactly what the old kudzu is over there in Alabama, Mississippi, and Georgia. That's the world has cluttered up the hearts of our folks, just like that kudzu. It wraps around everything. You can't get a breath around it. Well, that's what it is. Our folks have smothered out by the error that's in this land today, our preaching error, those who stand behind the pulpit without any knowledge or any grace in their hearts at all, spouting out error. And the Lord has given us grace here to refute error. No, we're not critical of the preachers. They know, the Lord knows their heart. But my friend, the Bible says for us to refute. That's right, to rebuke. To rebuke with all long suffering. So I asked you, would you ask the Lord to clear your heart and clear your mind? To know the truth when you hear it? What is the truth, you say? The truth is that man is a sinner. The Bible says there are none righteous, no, not one. And I find if I mention sinners around folk, they get mad with me because they say, don't call me a sinner. I'm no sinner. But my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ came only to seek and to save lost sinners. Do you know the only folks who ever get saved are sinners? Right. But I know that that's what's covered up by the briars and the bushes of today and cluttered up where you can't see those things. Satan has done a good job. You say Satan's got something to do with that? He has everything to do with it, my friend. He's the old deceiver. He's the old corrupter of God's Word. He takes God's Word and twists it around through one of his little emissaries who come out of these so-called seminaries. And we used to have a fellow here called them cemeteries. Well, that's left up to him. But my friend, we're just giving you the gospel. What is the gospel? Christ died for sinners. Are you a sinner? Christ died for sinners. Are you a sinner? We used to have an old missionary that preached for us back there many years ago. He was uneducated and old fisherman, and he couldn't hardly speak English. He was half French and half Italian. And somewhere he'd bring a message. He says, neither this, it's neither that. Christ died for sinners. Are you a sinner? He'd point his old stub of a finger out there in the audience and say, it's neither this, it's neither that. Are you a sinner? Christ died for sinners. So I ask you today, my friend, are you a sinner? Have you ever seen yourself as a lost sinner? Oh, that's the criteria. That's the determining factor. If you've never seen yourself as a lost sinner, you're not saved. You say, old Trailblazer, you mighty dogmatic this morning or tonight, whatever time you're hearing me. Well, I am dogmatic. The Bible is dogmatic. It says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's dogmatic. It says, except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. That's dogmatic. You say, well, don't come on here with that repentance stuff. I don't want to hear it. I know, my friend, most folks don't want to hear it. But it was the determining factor in John the Baptist preaching. He said, oh, you generation of vipers, you bunch of snakes, who brought you out here to hear this message? Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Do you know who he was talking to? He was talking to the great preachers of that day. And my friend, that's what we have today, a generation of preachers who are living on the high on the hog with all of the modern stuff that they have now, the comforts of this world, and they've gone off and left the gospel. They've gone off and left the old brush arbor. And gone off and left the old tent, and those things where the gospel used to thunder forth by the great old white-haired preachers of this world, the Spurgeons and the Whitfields and the Bonars and the Mac Shanes and John Bunyan and the Arthur W. Pink and all those great old preachers, yes, and the L.R. Sheltons. The L.R. Sheltons of this world are gone now, and we're just barely scratching the hem of the garment. We're still playing his messages every Sunday over many, many stations. Folks won't have it. One here and one there will call me and write me and say, you know, Trailblazer, I love to hear old Pastor Shelton. Well, that's well and good, but are you saved or do you want to be saved? That's what I asked you. You know, he's gone on to be with the Lord. He can't help you. No, no, we have folks who love to hear Pastor Shelton, but he can't help you. He brings God's message time after time. And then I have other folks say they won't have it because he's dead and gone. Oh, but my friend, Just think, the Bible is true whether you believe it or not. So we come down now to the doom of old Satan. We started there in our last study, just a little paragraph or two. But I want to go back and reread that for you and rebring that to you. Close of the tribulation period. We see now in the 19th chapter of Revelation, the Son of God as King of kings and Lord of lords, as he comes forth from heaven with the armies of heaven falling upon white horses clothed in fine linen. We have seen him meet the Antichrist and his armies in the open battles and dispose of them by taking the Antichrist and the false prophet alive, casting them into the lake of fire, alive, and then slaying the remnant with the sword of his mouth, which is the sword of judgment. We've also seen the battlefield cleared of all the slain by the vultures of the air. I wish you'd reread that 19th chapter. Maybe you have. I had asked you to do that in the last study. Reread that 19th chapter. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ comes in all his glory, in his great revelation, to take over the kingdoms of the world and to make them his kingdom. To do that, he must clear the field of every enemy. So this brings us to the 20th chapter, where we are told how he disposes of old Satan, the old arch enemy of God. With your Bibles now open, let's read Revelation 20, 1 through 3, and then 10. I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. And the devil that deceived them were cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, shall be tormented day and night, forever and forever. Oh, my friend, what a description there. We're going back and rereading some of those things that we've already given you, because I believe it'll be profitable for you. I believe it will. And we have now seen the armies of the world march toward Jerusalem, as we have seen the disaster of those armies as they have met their destruction. We see behind all of this the work and influence of the archenemy, who is Satan. God leaves Satan until the last and deals with him in judgment. When Satan is stripped of his armies and those whom he had deceived, we see how weak he really is. The Lord Jesus Christ does not bother himself even to touch him. But it says here, an angel came down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on that dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Yes? God sends a lone angel. I've often said, and you've heard me say this before, I believe he was the littlest angel, the smallest angel, the least angel. Oh, if there is such a thing. Or we used to call them runts out here in the country. When mama dog had a bunch of puppies, one of them would be a little old runt. But I believe this little old angel, just to show the magnificence of God, this was the least of the angels. And he came there bringing that chain. It doesn't say a mighty angel. It just says an angel. Lone angel. It shows the weakness of Satan, doesn't it? Apart from his followers. Let me tell you something, friend. Satan has no power except as you cooperate with him. This proves that without a shadow of a doubt that Satan is a living personality, not just an influence as so many think and believe and teach today. Oh, no. No, he's not just an influence. He's a prince in power of the air. Do you know anything about Satan, my friend? Have you read anything about him, studied anything about him? He was the highest archangel. He was the highest created being in the heaven, known as Lucifer. He led the worship of the morning hour, led all that host of angels that the Lord had created, led them to the throne to worship the Lord. But there was jealousy in his heart. Jealousy rose up in his heart. He wanted to be like the Most High. It is said, writers have written, that he was the most beautiful of all of the angels and the most powerful. And when the Lord cast him out because of his sin, It nowhere says that he removed any of his power from him. But now we see him. Now we see him. Oh, listen. This angel who has the key to the bottomless pit, which is in the heart of the earth, no doubt, is the same angel spoken of in the 9th chapter. And no doubt he is the angel who has the custody of the key to the bottomless pit. This bottomless pit, which is in the heart of the earth, has a shaft leading to it. Where that shaft is, no human being knows. But this angel binds Satan, and it says in that third verse, he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up. In other words, he sealed off that shaft. Let me call your attention to this expression found there in the third verse, and set a seal upon him. You know, when our Lord was buried in the tomb there in Joseph's garden, the Roman authorities set a seal upon him. That was the work of Satan. Do you know, when they cast Daniel in the lion's den, the scripture says they set a seal upon him. These seals were to guarantee that no one would open and let the victims out. But thank the Lord, our Lord broke that seal on the tomb and came out victorious. So when our Lord commands the angel to arrest Satan and bind him with chains, cast him into the bottomless pit, which is in the heart of the earth, he commands a seal to be set upon him. And thank God, no one can break that seal except at the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan is confined to the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. The purpose here is that he should deceive the nations no more during that time. Now, here's a particular statement. I want to reemphasize this. I spoke of it several days ago. We were looking at that verse. And after he must be loose for a little season is about 13 weeks. So a little season is about 40 days. The number 40 is the number of testing and trial. So Satan's little season must last about 40 days. Look at that word, must. Must be loosed. It's very significant, isn't it? Do you know the righteous judgment of God requires that even Satan shall receive fair play, and that perfect justice shall be met out to him as well as to all the fallen angels, demon spirits, and unjust men? So at the close of the 1,000 years of Christ's reign on earth, Satan will and must be loosed for a little season. During these 1,000 years, while Satan is bound, shut up in the bottomless pit, mankind will have the privilege of enjoying the glorious and gracious reign of the Son of God and of the Son of Man on earth. Oh, my friend, I wish I knew how to explain this to you. I can't do it. I have to just pick it apart time after time, time after time, time after time. But I want to skip down to where we had covered last study and look there and at this another name which Satan was called. The several names there by which he was called. We've covered them in another study. We want to look there. Now he's called the old serpent. The word old refers to the fact that he's been in existence since the beginning of human history. Yes, that's it. We're going to look at that in our next study. Time gets by so quickly, but I wish you would write me. Let me know if these messages, you may not be interested at all. Write me and let me know. I have folks write me occasionally and say, I don't believe a word you say, old trailblazer. I just don't believe a word you say. Well, that's okay. No, I don't get mad with you. I don't do that. But I wish you would. I wish you'd let me know if you're listening. Tell me where you're listening. Maybe you're listening over the internet. Tell me where you're listening. Up there in Hoboken somewhere. Maybe in Seattle, Washington. Maybe out there in Ontario, California. Somewhere. You folks listening? Let me hear from you. All the hours of the day and night because of the time change. I know those things. But, and you'd be surprised how many folks do write me and tell me they're listening. I get letters from old folks many times, 85, 90 years old, say, Pastor, I hadn't heard that since I was a child, how that God saves a sinner. Remember my mailing address, the old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. Goodbye and God bless you.